Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, tonight brings us to the end of a journey, the conclusion of a series that we've been doing based on Wynne Collier's book, Holy Curiosity. It's all about the questions that Jesus asks in the Gospels, asks to those around him, but of course asks to you and me as we read them afresh. There's something unique about that Bible. It jumps out of the page. It actually grabs our heart. It grabs our ears, our mind, and says, how will you answer these questions? The kinds of questions we've been exploring over the last, 7 weeks or so have been things like this. Why are you afraid? My God, why have you abandoned me? How much bread do you have? What do you want? Are you being willfully stupid? That's one of the questions Jesus asked his disciples. And tonight we're looking at this question, do you believe this? There's a story behind it. Jesus has asked this of his friend Martha during a period of immense grief for her. It's only a few days after the death of her brother Lazarus. And here he asks this question, do you believe this? Wynne's back again. Hi, Wynne.
Hello.
Been enjoying this series, and this question is a very nice one to end on, I think. But we need to paint the scenario behind this, you know, intriguing question, do you believe this? Because there's a backstory to it. Let's paint the scenario. The two sisters, Martha and Mary, they're some of Jesus' closest friends. Their brother Lazarus is seriously ill, and they ask him for help, yet he doesn't seem to respond straight away. In fact, he stays where he is for another few days, because he's not actually by their side, he's actually in another town. He stays where he is for another couple of days before he actually comes along and actually responds to their request for help in the first place. Before we go into the story, do you think there's something in that, the fact that Jesus sometimes delays responding to those requests?
Well, to me, I would say it's not only something in it. To me, it's what makes this story, frankly, from a human perspective, one of the most disturbing. Because the gospel writer says that these friends of Mary and Martha, and it's really interesting, he says, and the one Jesus loves. It doesn't even give, at that point, Lazarus' name. It's almost as if the writer wants us to realize up front that Jesus does actually love Lazarus, because the actions to follow, at least initially, seem quite the opposite. Mm. And so, I mean, yes, and I think this is what enables us to actually, as humans, to relate to this story. Because if most people are like me, some of my deepest questions about God are, why does he not act in ways that seem like they would be congruent with his character? Mm. When we ask for mercy, when we ask for him to stop violence, when we ask for him to feed the hungry, when we ask for him to stop AIDS and disease and genocide, and yet it's still all around us. Yeah. How do we make sense of that if God really is true and just and good?
Yeah. In fact, that's the very question that in many ways Mary and Martha in particular, actually ask of Jesus when he does arrive, because he arrives into their hometown, and by that time it's too late. Lazarus has actually died. And Martha raises that question, why didn't you come sooner?
That's exactly right. And it's disturbing, and she can't make sense of it. And she's angry, and I would say rightfully so. She is grieving. And what she's experiencing in that moment of Jesus does not fit her sense of who Jesus is. She cannot understand why he would wait, why he would delay. And in fact, it's really significant. The gospel tells a story and says very specifically that he arrived on the fourth day. And it maps out Jesus' movements before that as if he's deliberately delaying and stalling. And he arrives on the fourth day. And it's very interesting because in rabbinic tradition, they believed that a dead corpse could be raised any time from death to the third day.
Huh.
And Jesus arrived on the fourth day. So Jesus arrives on what could have, in Hebrew terms, been called the day after hope. It was the day after any possibility of redemption or things being made right seemed to be absolutely gone.
And he's really working to some sort of plan to get some sort of message out there, isn't he? Because he actually says, when he arrives there, he says, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe.
That's right, absolutely.
He's doing something here. There's a plan behind all this.
Well, absolutely. And I think, you know, even before that, when he was speaking to his disciples before he began the trek back to Bethany, he said something really telling. He said, this sickness will not end in death. It will become an occasion to show God's glory by glorifying God's Son. And what's really interesting there is Jesus did not say, Lazarus will not die. What Jesus said is, this story will not end in death. Mm. Death will not be the final word. And I would say with Jesus, death is never the final word.
Mm-hmm. This is Open House right across the nation. Our series is The Questions of Jesus and What They Can Say to Us. Wynn Collier is our guest, author of Holy Curiosity. These are some of the questions that he raises in the book, the questions that Jesus asks of his people when he was walking in this earth, the questions that penetrate our own hearts today. So Martha actually says to Jesus when he arrives, you know, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But she continues on, and there's something really beautiful in her own response. She says, I quote, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask.
Yeah, she's hanging on to a little bit of hope.
Even though it's the fourth day.
Exactly. That's the irony of all this, is that everything that had happened in this immediate moment, these immediate days, had made her question and doubt and falter what she knew to be true, or what she believed to be true about Jesus. And yet, as Jesus stood before her, there was still something in him that pulled hope out of her. And I think that's much of what he was hoping to do.
Mm. And then we get to the actual question that we're talking about today, because Jesus then turns it around. You know, on the one minute they're talking about dead Lazarus, and then the next minute he actually is kind of pivoting the conversation to his own deity.
And it's very interesting when you follow the exact ins and outs of the conversation, because Martha comes to Jesus distraught, and she says, why? And it's interesting that Jesus doesn't really answer her why here.
Mm.
What Jesus says in response is a statement. He says, I am the resurrection and the life.
Mm.
Do you believe this? Now, it's interesting because exactly what Martha was asking for from Jesus was an act of resurrection, was an act of life. And Jesus was standing before her and saying, I'm actually, right in this moment, this isn't the time for me to answer your question of why it's happened. At this moment, what is most central is for me to declare to you that I am, in my person, the very thing you're longing for.
Mm.
Do you believe this to be true?
Mm. So we need to pause there, don't we? Because when we are going through a hard time, when we're wondering why God is waiting or not coming through, that is the classic question, why, God? Why are you doing this? And right throughout the scripture, I mean, God very rarely gives us an answer. You think of that classic book that explores the question of the problem of pain, the book of Job. And
right.
Job's going through all of this trial. He's lost his sons and his daughters and his livestock and his own health. And he's saying, why? What's going on, God? Why are you doing it? And when God does appear towards the end of the book and actually has that, you know, amazing revelation of his very nature and character, he never answers the question. But just that revelation of God's nature and God's presence is enough for Job to say, well, my ears had once heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. He didn't even need an answer to the question why. And we're seeing a similar thing here. Jesus, like you said, doesn't actually answer that question why.
Yeah, and I think it's because God in his godhood, and then I would say Jesus in who he was as God and man, he knows our deeper questions more than we even know them ourselves. And so oftentimes, our surface questions are, why is this happening to me? Why isn't this working right? But I think if we dig down much deeper, the question that's really lurking is there anything or anyone in this world big enough to handle my pain?
Mm.
Is it true what I sense that I cannot handle my life? And so it shows up in some of these cursory questions. And I think what God is getting at to, I mean, he's not, you know, sort of trailing out in front of us with a carrot, trying to just lead us wherever he wants to. I think he's trying to dig into the deepest places and see if we can come to terms with the truth, which, as I see it, is what I most need is not relief from my pain. What I most need is not for my checkbook to balance well every month. I need those things. That's not my deepest need.
Mm.
My deepest need is for one who is larger than me, who is more loving than me, more powerful than me, to make sense of who I am and who I'm supposed to be in this world.
Mm, mm,
and that's one who is resurrection and life.
Yes, I'm the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Is what Jesus says to Martha. Jesus then goes along to Martha's home, finds Lazarus dead, and then we have the smallest sentence in the Bible. Jesus wept. There's a lot of meaning in that.
Right, there absolutely is. And it's very interesting what happens right next to that, those words. You have to put them together. Basically, what the text says is that Jesus grew angry. And it's at the moment when Mary, Martha's sister, she didn't come out to meet Jesus. She was too distraught. She was crying. Jesus asked for her to come. She came. And it says Jesus grew angry. And most of the English texts, at least, really wrestle with that translation. And you'll see all kinds of hoops being jumped through trying to tone it down, because we don't understand why, faced with all this grief and with this woman that he loves, you know, basically at his feet in tears, why would he say he was angry?
Mm.
Well, he was angry and he wept. And so I think there is a difference here we have to pull out. There's a difference between Jesus being angry at Mary or at Martha and Jesus being angry for Mary
mm-hmm.
and for Martha.
Mm-hmm.
And what I sense there is Jesus, in the middle of this chaos, these people that he deeply loved, this Lazarus that he loved, and he was grieving as well because this one he loved was dead. And these two women that he deeply loved, who had cared for him and been his friends, were distraught and grieving and in chaos. And I think Jesus in that moment felt the pain and the agony of a world that had spiraled into disrepair and a world that was never as God intended it. And literally, I think he was angry at evil and angry at hell and angry at injustice, and it broke his heart and he wept.
Yeah. This is Open House right across the nation. Wynne Collier is with us. Holy Curiosity is his book. We're talking about the questions of Jesus. And tonight, wrapping up our series with this amazing question that Jesus asked to Martha, who's just lost her brother. Do you believe this? And that relates to his question, or his statement really, saying that he is the resurrection and the life. So let's go to that, I guess, the climax of the story. Jesus looks up to heaven, prays, and then calls Lazarus out of the tomb where he's been buried, and Lazarus indeed walks out. The dead is raised back to life. Finally, it happens. Finally, the answer comes after all of that waiting.
And the tension is really built. I mean, Martha reminds him when Jesus first says, Lazarus, come forth. Martha says, well, you know, Jesus, his body's decomposed and he's going to reek. And the text refers to Lazarus as the dead man, as if to accentuate, yes, yet again, in case we had lost it amid the way that the story had unfolded, that this was a dead corpse lying here in a cold tomb. And Jesus says, Lazarus, come out. And he does.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus stood there in the middle of all this pain, the very thing that caused him anger and tears, and he who was the resurrection and life inserted himself into this moment and called life out of death.
And Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? He kind of wraps it up, doesn't he? Didn't I tell you? I told you I was this.
That's right, exactly. And I think that's what Jesus longs to do in each one of our stories.
Yeah, well, let's bring that down. You're taking us there to us now. Let's bring this message down to us, this question to us. I'm the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? What does that really mean for you, me, and for everybody else listening today?
Well, I think essentially at the very core, what it means is, do we believe that when all is said and done, that our deepest longings, our deepest needs, that our own death, that if we're aware of it, is quite and always present around us, that the only remedy can be found in this God who came to us in Jesus? And I will not mince words. This is a scandalous proposition. That there was one who came from God, who intervened into this world and brought with himself resurrection, forgiveness, hope, and life. And for me, I do think the Christian message can get diluted and you can go off on all kinds of tangents about all kinds of things, but at its very core, what every one of us has to wrestle with is this one question: what do we believe about Jesus? And I know that, you know, C.S. Lewis essentially said, in all of his years as an agnostic and running from faith, the one thing that he continually came back to is, but what do I do with this character named Jesus? I think Jesus asks each one of us this very pointed and plain question. He says to us, I am resurrection. I, myself, am life. Do you believe this?
And there are people right around the world, even as we speak, that are coming alive when they say yes to that question.
Yeah.
Yeah. when it's been really good catching up with you over the last few weeks and exploring these questions of Jesus. Yeah, thanks so much for your time, hey?
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, the book is called Holy Curiosity, and it's based around these questions that Jesus asked of the people around him as we read them in the Gospels. This has only been a few of the questions that are actually covered in the book. Holy Curiosity, the book is called. The author is Wynne Collier. The full series you'll find on the openhouse.net.au blog site if you want to catch up with the podcast.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.